My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. My full reward is to win Jesus. That's my full reward. And there's nothing better to win in life. And whatever you've given up, and I don't know what you perceive as a cost or a price that you've given up from this world to be in this church, hear me, it is worth it. It is worth it to win Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. That's what we've got to do. We got to run that we may obtain. I want to read it from the Message, 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. You've all been to the stadium. You've seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. I'm not just running in a race just so I can get breathless and not know who I am after I finish. I want to win this race. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I want to win Christ. Does anybody want to win this race? Are you in it to win it? So turn to your neighbor and say, are you in it to win it? I'm in it to win it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to take you back to 2 John and that one chapter, and I want to kind of give you a historical context so you'll understand the timing of the words, because most likely at this time, all of the apostles had died, and John was the last lion. He was the last apostle to still be alive. He was addressing the church, of course, and they had originally thought that the second coming of Jesus Christ was going to happen in their lifetime. And that has been stated in several of the epistles, and they were expecting Jesus to return before the turn of the first century. But it looked like, because all the apostles had died but John, that Jesus had delayed his coming, and they were being shaken by false teaching and false doctrines and false ideas, and they were coming into the church. And so John had to address it. He had to speak to those false doctrines and to people who were falling away. If you've ever been through a time in your life where your faith was shaken, where your foundation was being moved by a storm, you will understand why John was addressing this particular issue with the church. Because if you haven't gone through something like that, you will go through it. And that's the only way you're ever going to be worth your salt and have the ability to influence other people, is when you've been through adversity and come through on the other side and you're still praising Jesus and you still have your convictions intact. Matter of fact, I believe you possess the amount of salt you have acquired through your trials and tribulations. And that means my faith is still intact. You can't influence anybody, or if you do, you're going to influence them the wrong way if you try or attempt to influence them simply with just, oh, I've been through a lot of stuff. But when you've gone through it and you say, you know what, I won the victory and I still have Jesus in my life, that is something worth testifying about. And that's something worth influencing others. Just the fact you're still here praising God, smiling and clapping your hands and blessing the Lord and glorifying the name of Jesus, that's a great testimony by itself. Darlene, you're still here. Mike, you're still here. Brother and Sister Carter, it's a miracle. But Brother Carter, you're still here. You've been through some stuff. But praise God, you came out on the other side and you're still praising the Lord. Is anybody glad that you still made it through? You got something to say. You got something to influence somebody else with. I've gone through some storms. Has anybody gone through some storms? And God's proven faithful, and he's brought you out. That's salt right there. So John was trying to address the church, and he was getting older, and he knew that Jesus was not going to come in his lifetime. And he had to address some things to the church. So I address this to you because we're at that time now where the old guard is leaving us, one right after the other. You realize how many precious people we've lost this year. You go back, Brother Oliver Adams, you got Brother Welch, and I'm not going to be able to call all of them by name. Isabel, Sister Tony Kelly, Brother Gene McCartney, Sister Shirley Welch, Brother Hal Kennedy. We've lost some great people this year, and Jesus hasn't come yet, so somebody's got to accept the responsibility. We can't leave their torch on the ground. They paid a high price to bring the church to where we are today. And somebody needs to say, I'll be the worshiper. I'll pick up the torch of truth. I'll go and be a praiser in the house. Can I get a witness? I'll be faithful to the house of God. I'll pay my tithes. I'll take their place. I'll do my part. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Now, I know you got a lot of gurus running around telling you when Jesus is going to come, and they'll quote the date. And Jesus may come today, and he may come tomorrow, and he may come next week. I don't know exactly when he's going to come, but I do know this, he's coming. And the key is not to know when he's coming. The key is to be ready for his coming. Now, he may delay it. He may come at another time. That's his choice. That choice does not belong to me. I have no say in the matter. You can pray and fast till you're blue in the face, and it's not going to change the time when Jesus has decided to come. He's going to come when he comes. So it's up to us until he comes to be faithful. You got to be faithful. The old guard is dying off, and so now we need to accept our responsibility, and we need to be faithful. They were faithful in their generation. And it's time for the First Pentecostal Church to not whine about your circumstance. We have more affluence than we've ever had before. We've got greater possibility than we've ever known before. We have got a greater chance to impact our world with the gospel because it's a messed up world. And what better way for us to be a witness than not to be messed up ourselves, but to say, I've been through it. But I've come out on the other side, and I'm still shouting, and I'm still praising God. I want to know, does anybody still have an apostolic witness in your heart? Does anybody still have a desire to be a praiser in the house, to live holy, to say no to the things of the world? So I thank God for the heritage, and I'm not going to lose what we have received from these elders. I'm going to hold on to that heritage of truth. And that's my promise to them. That's my promise to you. And that's my promise to God. But I want to give you five principles we need right now in the kingdom of God. First principle, the will to prepare is more important than the will to win. And you got to prepare to win. Because winning is not just something you're going to do because you're here at church and you clap your hands a little bit. That's not going to help you win. You got to have a made-up mind if you're going to prepare to win. That means if you feel good, you still do it. If you feel bad, you still do it. If your mama's against it, you still live for God. If your daddy's against it and doesn't live for God, you live for God. If you're up, you live for God. And if you're down, you live for God. In the good times and in the bad times, in the heat and in the cold, in the rain and in the snow. There's no snow here much. But, I mean, every once in a while it snows. If you'll wait around 10 years, maybe in 10 years it'll snow. But whether it's snow, cold, hot, doesn't matter. I'm coming to church. I've got a made-up mind. I just want to know, does anybody want to be loyal to the word of Jesus and the word of God? Do y'all want me to preach from the comic book, or do y'all want me to preach from the holy book? Do you want me to preach from Facebook, or do you want to hear a message? I want the word of God. You got to have a made-up mind, because I'm not wandering from the teachings of Jesus. He's the one that made possible my salvation. I'm not going to leave God behind. As 2 John says, if you wander from the teachings of Jesus, you will leave God behind. That's why we need revelation knowledge. He's got to come to our minds and our hearts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I think God wants to lift our thinking today. You need to start thinking well and thinking correctly. He's instructed us from the word. Don't let your circumstances keep you from your dedication and consecration. Everybody's got a story to tell, and everybody's got a difficult time, but that's no excuse to sit back. The elders that have left us, they had a difficult time too, but they made their lolly bears, they made their peanut brittle. God love them. Amen. God love them for that peanut brittle. They did their part, but I want to know, are you committed to do your part? It may be a little different, but praise God, I've made up in my mind. I'm going to choose the right voices to speak into my life. I don't mean you any harm, and I don't mean you any disrespect, but I'm not just going to let anybody talk into my life, because not everybody's got the best interest of the church at heart. So I'm going to tune my ear to the right voices. Young people, you need to quit listening to the wrong voices. There are people that are trying to talk you out of your dedication. They'll try to talk you out of your worship. They'll try to talk you out of your holiness. But you don't let them. Don't let another young person. Don't let some other young person's father, our mother, our parent talk you out of your religion and your faith. I can't hear you. I don't care if they're singing in the choir. They have no right to tell you to calm down. They have no right to tell you to quit your dedication, that it doesn't matter how you live. That's a lie. I don't care if they're on the balcony. I don't care if they're on this platform. If they're telling you it doesn't matter, they're wrong. And I'm telling you, it does matter. I'm telling you, it is important. I'm telling you, you need to choose the right voices. I'm sorry, I feel like preaching here tonight. I feel like telling it like it is. I feel like somebody ought to say, I'm ready for it. God, speak into my life. Amen. Now, here's what I've learned. Here's the second principle. First principle, the will to prepare is more important than the will to win. You got to prepare to win. And that means that in order to do that, you got to have a made-up mind. Amen? And you got to prepare by choosing the right voices to speak into your life. So you got to be around the right people who will talk right into your spirit and lead you down the right path. Here's the second principle. Y'all ready? Maximum effort and right attitude will cover any mistake. Here's the thing. Keep your spirit right. Because you can be right in your opinion and be wrong in your spirit and still be wrong. If I keep my spirit right, I'll be an overcomer. My destiny does not belong to a qualifying committee of the United Pentecostal Church. It's in the hands of Jesus. Thomas Jefferson said, nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing can help the man with the wrong one. It's the truth. I've watched it. We're all running in a race and I'm trying to receive a prize. So I'm going to run to obtain it. I'm going to run to win it. I'm in it. Oh, y'all got that. Man, y'all listening. I'm running. I'm in it to win. I want to hit the mark. I don't want to miss. I don't want to just beat the air. I've got a reason to be here. I want to win the race. And with God, all things are possible. You got to be aware of God's original design, because a lack of awareness is a disease that'll destroy you. Don't allow just anybody to interpret the storms you're going through. You have to be free from their paralyzing opinion, because if you're not free from that, then you will not accomplish God's purpose for your life. God did not design you to fail. Oh, I want to say that again. God did not design you to fail. Pay attention to God's original design. He did not design you to fail. He did not design you to backslide. And I'm going to say something else. I might as well just go on and declare, the devil can't make you backslide. Your mama can't make you backslide. Your daddy can't make you backslide. The government can't make you backslide. Schools can't make you backslide. Your friends cannot make you backslide. You have to choose to backslide. But I say, church, I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I'm not turning around. I'm going on into my destiny. I just want to know, does anybody want to go with me? I've come to declare, church, you're an overcomer. Brother Geck, Sister Geck, you're an overcomer. Even when you have to put up with Nathan, you're still an overcomer. Praise the Lord. You still have something to shout about. You still have something to praise God about. I believe that Satan would like to deceive some of you and make you think that you are less than what God says you are. But it's a lie from hell. You are a blood bought, blood washed, Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized, holiness living child of God. Is anybody glad? Now, most of you wouldn't get deceived unless you're going through a storm. But it's in the storm that magnifies the voice of the enemy and gives credence to what he's saying. Because if you're going through it and you don't know where you're at and you're confused and you're upset and things are going wrong, well, that's when the devil starts talking to you. Because he don't wait till you're on the mountaintop to try to destroy you. And when you're strong, he's got better sense than that. And he don't mind kicking you when you're down. I mean, he has no problem with that at all. He'll touch your kids. He'll touch your babies. He'll do anything he can to get you to backslide. He'll do anything. He'll pay any price. He'll do anything to try to reclaim you unto himself. But I've got good news for you. My Jesus did everything to get you to come to him. He died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He overcame it, and now he makes you a joint heir in Christ. That's something that's amazing to me. Not only am I saved, but I'm a joint heir with him. I don't even understand what all that means. I don't even have the words to describe the full potential of what the possibilities are of me being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That just blows my ever-loving mind. But it's there, and it's in the scripture. How can we even occupy his throne? What does he even mean by that? There's no throne but God, and then yet he invites us in the book of Revelation to join him in his throne. I don't understand all that. I can't explain it, but it sounds good. That's all it does. It sounds good. I don't know about y'all. Does that sound good to you? That's like pecan pie. You never had it, but it sounds good. Just talk to somebody who loves it. Woo! Oh, that pecan pie and pumpkin roll. Praise God, Sister Joey. Amen. And peanut brittle. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Anybody feel it in the house? I mean, we're fixing to go into more Christmas. We just came out of Thanksgiving, then we got New Year. Yes, the Lord is good. Come on now, you know it's good. Well, I'm telling you, God's invited you into his throne. I can't explain all of that to you, and I know it has great meaning, but I also know that it's going to be better than what anybody can describe it. That's how good it is. I said, that's how good it is. Woo! Jesus ain't never done me nothing but good. I told you I wouldn't sing Happy Birthday, and now you see why. I've said Jesus ain't never done me nothing but good. And that's exactly the way you need to recognize it. You need to be happy you're in the church. You need to be thrilled you're in the kingdom of God. You need to be thrilled. I don't care how many times you get knocked out. I don't care how many times you get knocked down. You need the power of a revelation from Jesus Christ. All things work together for the good if you've got a revelation. The third principle, true success, is knowing that you're made for more and that you've done your best. Now listen, you've done your best to become all that you're capable of being. Winning is a learned behavior such as losing is. And it's just a learned behavior. And you say, well, how do you know the difference? Well, this is the only way I know the difference. If you get knocked down, get back up. There's the difference right there. Because everybody here is going to get knocked down. But nothing, nothing can stop you from getting back up. Nothing but you. You might be going through the wilderness, but it's designed for your victory. It's not designed for your defeat. I believe that if you will do your best, God will bless you and help you. Now, I know we've become so accustomed to losing that if we lose a young person or if we lose a married couple, we just say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have that attitude, and I'm not accepting it any longer. Now, it may happen in spite of all of my efforts to keep it from happening, but I'm not going to accept it as the normal. I'm going to accept it only because they force it on me by their choice, yes, but I want you to know that God does not intend us to lose a single soul. Say, well, the law of average is against you. They may be against me, but I'm not going to be satisfied losing one married couple. I'm not going to be satisfied losing one single soul. I'm going to say that again because some of you just say, well, that's just, we got to accept it. No, we don't. Somebody needs to rise up against it and say, I'm not letting another young person walk away from God. Now, listen to me. This is very important. I don't care if these kids go off to college. The college does not have to influence them to believe all of the mess they're teaching. Because they are not correct. They are wrong about what they're teaching. Not in the principles of science and math, but what they're saying about Christianity and how they're trying to brainwash our kids. It is a lie belched out of hell. But if you know who you are and you've got your identity and you're going to church and you don't use studying as an excuse to stay home, woo! Don't use anything as an excuse. You go to church, you get involved, you clap your hands, you worship God. You don't sit in the back and sulk because Brother Kinsey said you had to be there. You get on the front row. Woo! I wish somebody was excited you was at church tonight. I wish somebody was happy about the fact you was in the house and say, I'm in the house. I thank God. I'm not missing. I'm not quitting. I'm going to go to church. And listen, something else here. God knows how to finish what he started. God started all the way back at the starting line, and he wrote the entire script for your life. And he didn't miss a single point. He put it all in the word of exactly what you could be and what you can become. He's got it all designed, written out, perfectly, beautifully stated. It's there. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Calvary was not an accident. It was not a backup plan. It was not something that took God by surprise. It was a planned prophetic event all along. He was slain from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning of time, God planned it and put it in his purpose. He knew what man would choose to do and understood that he would choose wrong, and he knew exactly what it would cost, and he produced Jesus, that he would come and die for our sins upon the cross. My God is the producer. He is the director. He wrote the screenplay for the whole thing, and the script belongs to him. So when you get a mindset of destiny, I'm going to fulfill my destiny in the kingdom of God. You cannot lose, church. If you say, I'm in it, y'all a little slow. You getting tired? Well, I'm not tired yet, so you're going to have to stay with me. I'm in it. All right, you get it. I'm telling you right now, nothing can stop a church that's got a made-up mind. Nothing can stop a church that knows who they are. Nothing can stop a church who knows their identity. Nothing can stop a church that knows how to pray, that knows how to worship. Nothing. Amen. Discipline is knowing your, here's the fourth principle. Discipline is knowing what you're supposed to do, accepting it, and doing it to the best of your ability at every opportunity. That means you know what I got to do, and you're not looking around and saying, why do they not have to do this like I have to do it? And I've done that before, and especially earlier on in my ministry when I was called upon the Lord to dedicate and consecrate in ways that other people didn't have to be quite frank with you, because they had dads in the ministry that just opened the doors, that they had just opened all the doors for them, and I had zero doors. And so in order for me to do anything, I had to really consecrate and work hard to get any door to open. And then even at that, it was just barely open. But I kept consecrating, and I did not let it affect me, because I did not change my view of the person who was blessed because of who they were raised by. See, because if your attitude changes about them, because all of them are my friends now, I've preached for all of them. I've preached revival for every single lasting one of them. And I thank God for all of them. They're some of the most awesome people in all the world. But I knew that I had to pay a higher price earlier, and I had to pay it longer in order to become what God wanted me to be. But that's what I needed. Quit whining about how hard it is for you. It's hard for everybody. I wish you'd smile while I preach. It's hard for everybody. I'm going to say it one more time. It's hard for everybody. I'm going to say it again. It's hard for everybody. Get over it. Sometimes life is hard, but I'd rather do life with you and Jesus with all of its hardness and difficulty than to sit around and cry about everything. Come on, I'd rather get up in here and shout about it. You know why I shout, move so much? It's hard to hit a moving target, praise God. If the devil, he's going to have to practice to get me, hallelujah. I'm not going to let him hit me just by standing still, but I'm going to worship, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to bless the name of the Lord, because I believe in the church. I believe in the kingdom. So here's what I did. It's very simple. Practice the little things until you get them right. Do the basics over and over again. And then if you're faithful, here's the principle. So it works for everybody. Works for you, works for me. If you're faithful in the small things, he'll say, come on up here. Come on up in here. I guess he'd say like that. Come on up in here. We fixing to have some church up in here. Hallelujah. See, my greatest rival is not you. My greatest enemy is not you. My greatest enemy is not the devil. My greatest enemy is me. Letting the devil talk me out of my dedication or out of my worship or out of my joy. Or just let the devil whisper to you for 5 minutes here, and before you know it, you'll be crying and wondering why you're even at church, and you don't feel like anybody loves you. And by the time you get all of that going, and then we come around you, and then we try to pray for you, and then you slink away. Well, no wonder. Nobody can get close to you to love you. Huh? Y'all didn't think about that one, did you? Well, why don't you change your spirit? Why don't you start worshiping and say, you know what? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I promise you, before you leave here, you'll know everybody loves you. Now, we love you even if you're crying about everything. We still love you. Don't worry about that. We're going to love you, and we're going to love on you until we love you out of that mess into a spiritual dimension of victory, because everybody here is worth and valuable and worth great price. As a matter of fact, every one of you, your soul is priceless. It is so valuable that Jesus died for you before he ever knew you, as far as you being born. He knew you by prophecy, but he did not know you because you were not yet born. But in his mind, you were already birthed, and he's dying so he can save you. That's how valuable you are to God. Don't you let anybody tear that value down. I said, don't you let anybody tear that value down. God wants you to practice the little things. Okay, let me show you those little things. The rule of five, that's kind of what those little things are. Read your Bible every day. Smile while the preacher preaches. Act like you're interested at least once every 5 minutes. I'm almost done. I've got one more principle. I'm on the fourth one. Isn't that cool? I got one more to go, and I'm done, and you're gone. You're out of here. You're on to Pizza Hut, and I'm on to a vacation with my baby. Hallelujah. So I'm just trying to explain to you. I'm just trying to explain to you what's happened. Just about 3 days, and I'll be back. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. But I'm telling you, God is good. Do the little things. Go ahead and clap. When the man of God says, that's a good time to practice it, because you don't feel it, because I know you're mad at me for saying it. I can tell. Go on and clap your hands. All right? Somebody just stand up and shout hallelujah to aggravate the devil. See there? See? See what I mean? Practice those little things. Get in the habit of it. Do it all the time. Now, I'm realistic, church. You can be seated for a moment. I'm realistic. You're not going to feel like doing that all the time. And I understand that, and I'm not rebuking you over that, because nobody feels like doing it all the time. But the fact of the matter is, I practice it. I rehearse it. I keep doing the little things. I just keep showing up. And that's the difference right there. I'm in proximity. I've seen some great moves of God that I wondered, where in the world did they come from? I showed up, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and the Lord was in the house. That's it. Just being there makes a difference, and being in the game, be in the fight, be here. Don't just come to church, be here. Amen. And here's the fifth principle, and I love this principle. Winning is not being better than your opponent. Because if you can't be better than the devil, then, man, you are a mess. Winning is the will to be better than yourself. Whew. Amen. Because I'm trying to improve myself. I'm trying to grow myself. Because I can't grow anybody in here. I can't grow anybody's life. I can give you the principles. I can plant the seed. But you have to have the right soil. And I'll tell you, the problem's never been the Word of God. I mean, in all of my life and all of my dealings with me, the problem has never been with the Word of God. The problem has always been with the condition of my soil. And so the whole thing that I do, I don't have to improve the Word. And I just laugh at Pentecostals who are always trying to improve the preacher. If he would just preach this, then I would be that. And if he would just say this and do it that away, that's not your problem. That is not your problem. I learned that way back yonder when I was just a teenager. The problem is the condition of my soil. I don't spend any of my time trying to tell anybody what to preach because that's a waste of time. I try to get myself right so I can receive the Word of God no matter what it is. Woo! Man, that's good stuff. Wow, that's good preaching. If I was like Jeff Arnold, I'd say I'd get my own CD. Hallelujah. But I'm not like him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell him that all the time. I said, I'm so glad I'm not like you. He said, well, you're supposed to be like Jesus. I said, that's right. And it ain't you. Praise God. Anyway. Amen. Well, we get into it. We love to have fun. So anyway, we fight the good fight of faith. You're working on yourself. Let me get you over all your stress. Quit worrying about everybody else. You're going to have the best night's sleep you've ever had tonight if you'll listen to me on this one thing. It is better than taking Ambien, praise God. Or siesta with Lunesta, praise God. It's better than all of that. Quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. And work on yourself. And you'll change everything. Quit trying to change your wife or your husband or your children or anybody around you. Change yourself. How many of y'all seen that YouTube video of that little kid trying to strap herself into her car seat? And her dad's in the driver's seat, and he's looking back. She's struggling with it, and he's telling her, do you need any help? And she said, no, thank you. Do you need any help? And she kept struggling. She said, worry about yourself. And then he said, are you sure? Can I help you? No, no, thank you. Worry about yourself. And that's exactly, every one of you will get a great night's sleep. Worry about yourself. Quit worrying about what somebody else is doing on the front row. Quit worrying about what somebody's not doing on the back row. If I worried about everybody and what they were doing, it would completely melt me down emotionally. I'd have a nervous breakdown. I got to put you in the hands of the Lord. And man, if I can get you there, I'm happy to leave it. Praise God. You take them, Jesus. You said this was your church, not mine. Take them. Hallelujah. Because I can't carry this bunch. Moses couldn't carry that bunch in the wilderness, and I can't carry you. But I know somebody who can carry all of us. And his name is Jesus. Y'all can stand. I'm done. Woo! Somebody praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm committed to doing the little things. What about yourself? Brother D.L. Welch had a saying. He said, if I spend all my time working on myself, God will take care of the rest. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I honor our elders and our heritage And I'm so thankful for it, church. We've lost some precious people this year, and it's all right for us to grieve over that, to miss them and wish they were back with us, for all of us do. And you should. You should grieve over them. Yes, the church has to go forward. They want us to go forward. They would tell us they want us to go forward, because that's the only way we can go. Because really, if you think about it, none of us can go back. We only have the choice of either quitting or going forward. And quitting just is not a choice to me, church. Now, maybe you feel like that's a choice for you, but there's just that choice does not exist in my vocabulary or in my life. There's just no place to turn around. What am I going to go to? I mean, I listen to all kinds of preaching. I listen to Baptist people preach. I listen to Pentecostals. I listen to pseudo-Pentecostals. Trust me, there, and I've heard the greatest preaching in all the world, and you have too. We have the greatest preachers in the world come to this pulpit. And I mean, I'm not being critical. Really, church, I'm not being critical. But there is absolutely nothing to go back to. There is nothing to go to from here. I mean nothing. Because almost any church you pick is declining. And the only metro churches or mega churches that are growing are those that are siphoning off people from other denominations. And then the rest of them are quitting and just evaporating into the ether and into the culture. And I don't want that to happen to us. So I'm in it. Amen. And if you're in it to win it, then we can make a difference in this world. And yes, you can win. And I know things happen. I understand that. And I'm not it by any means. I know people get hurt, people get wounded. All of that happens to all of us in some form or another. And I'm not unsympathetic in any way towards you. I'm just simply saying, God wants you to win. And these principles have to be applied in order for you to win it. So worry about yourself, and you'll sleep better tonight. And you prepare the soil. You don't have to try to fix the preacher or the pulpit. You fix yourself. And once yourself gets right, I promise you, God will speak to you every time you come to church. Not one time, every time. Every time he will speak to you. If your heart's right, if the soil is right, that's the key. Hallelujah. Right now, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place so strongly. Now, if you're in it to win it, I want you to turn to somebody and say, I'm going to win this thing. We're going to win it. I'm in it to win it. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to win it. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win this thing. Okay? Now, I want you to connect with them in prayer but this is what I want you to do before you start praying. I want you to bring them to the front. I want you to bring that person right now to the front. There you go. You're getting it. Those of you that get here first, get as close to the front as you can get to make room for as many people as you can. Wow. Look at this response. We have two to get baptized tonight. It's called, but they did. Mike took Mike, brother, like Andy took care of him. And we're going to baptize them tonight in Jesus' name. So if you would go and get them ready, whoever it is, Brother Ralph, yeah, we got it. It's fixed. It's fixed. Brother Haney fixed it and filled it up. I was listening to it while I was preaching to you. Rejoicing in the Lord. That's a good sound. Man, that can interrupt me anytime. Water going into a baptistry. Yes. There's just no better way to have church, in my estimation. We had a problem with a valve. So it's good, Brother Haney? Okay, he's got two thumbs up. I thought I heard a bunch of racket back there. And I was saying, who is messing around? And I knew who it was, and I knew what you were doing, and I thought it was awesome. Thank you for going the extra mile there and for all those that work so hard. Next Sunday night, I'm going to be speaking about Save to Serve. And we're going to be, I want to show you the amount of volunteers it takes to run this church. I want you to see what I'm going to show you next Sunday night. It is going to blow your mind. This doesn't happen by accident. A lot of people work hard to make this go. Winterfest didn't happen just by somebody snapping their fingers. And our kids are out there, and then I don't know how many performances they've had a night of work going out there. Of course, they didn't have to sing. They had that recorded music. But they're out there smiling. They had them in the Pensacola News Journal. Alana, was that who was smiling? Oh, there, yeah, that's it. She just gets out there. I'm happy to be here. Jesus is born. Hallelujah. She gets into the newspaper. I've been here 20 years, girl, and they won't hardly put me in the newspaper. There is something wrong with this picture. But isn't that wonderful? I think it's great, Alana. I think it's great. But that don't happen by accident. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of people pulling together and making it happen. And everybody's got their part to play. You need to accept that role and play it. And if you're going to play it like you mean it. Amen. So you got to get over your little offended spirit. Because when I was growing up in the church in Lake Charles, they told me I could sing in the choir but not say a word because I was off key. And I was throwing everybody off. But they wouldn't let me sit down. I still had to be in the choir, and I just had to mouth the words. Say, you stand up there and mouth the words. And I did. I stood up there and I mouthed it just like I was singing. There was a lady in our congregation that came to church, never been to a Pentecostal church. She asked somebody standing next to her, who's that young man singing in the choir? They pointed to me and said, he sings so beautifully. She came to the altar, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name because of my singing. And I promise you, I was not saying a word, but I wasn't sulking. I was praising him like I was singing with everybody else.
Amen, amen.
Woo! When you can do that, you can be used of God. And when you can't, ain't nothing can help you. Nothing can help you when you can't. That's what Thomas Jefferson said. Nothing can help you. So, right now, we're going to prepare our soil. We're going to receive the word. How many of you love Jesus with all your heart? You want to win Christ. You're in it to win it. All right? I want you to lift your hands right now, and I want you to worship and praise the Lord and glorify his name. Go ahead and say, God, I want to win this thing. Get my heart right.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.